Good evening, everybody. It's great to see you here tonight. I thought I'd begin a little bit differently. I'm not going to go straight into the sermon. I've been here for about 6 months now, serving in a pastoral capacity at 6 p.m., and it has been nothing but a joy. And actually, I think my wife, Amy, and I have found it to be as pleasant of an experience as we've ever encountered at a church. And I probably said this before in some other way, shape, or form, or another place and time. But we found people being so kind. There was such an amazing amount of hospitality. And we felt really welcomed. And I think that there are a lot of strengths that this congregation possesses. In particular, people are committed to knowing the truth. They're hungry for the truth. They want the truth. They want to guard that truth. There's a lot of joy when we come here on Sunday nights together. And I think that there's really a lack of any real dissension among us. Nobody here has any real beef with anybody else that's causing big quarrels or disunity, which I think is a real strength and a real sign of a healthy church. But I thought since I've been here just for a little while, there's been a few things that have come to my attention. And I thought we might take just 3 minutes or so, maybe five or so, maybe more, hopefully not more, just for a pastoral word, just a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation, hopefully from Scripture, that will keep us going in the right way and keep us from potential pitfalls. So if you're visiting with us this week, it's a real joy to have you here. We're thankful you're here. Bear with us for 5 minutes as you hear this. This is something that I'm addressing to the people that are here regularly, and hopefully you'll benefit from it as well. But my real concern is that sometimes there's a tendency for us, and this has nobody in mind, there's nobody targeted in this, but there's sometimes a tendency for us to be really selfish, really self-centered, really self-serving, and even self-seeking. What can I get? What is it? What can feed me? What can be about me? Everything gets focused around us. And it's really difficult because I think the culture that we're in, that's all we hear all the time, right? In America, there was this slogan always, sort of have it your way. It was like a burger slogan for McDonald's or Burger King or something, which you guys have as Hungry Jack's, right? You guys have the same logo, but it's Hungry Jack's instead of Burger King. But have it your way. However you want it, whenever you want it, it should be yours. It's yours for the taking, yours for the making. And we end up wanting to fulfill that in every realm of our lives, but I think there's something we need to hear as Christians, especially as people at 6 p.m., that is not the norm for kingdom living. That actually the kingdom, and this community in particular, is actually about community. And it's about others first, rather than self. It's about serving others, caring for others rather than caring for self. And actually in that we see a lot of fruit for our own lives. But I thought that we should think about this for a few things, a few examples. Again, this is just an aside before the sermon, so sort of two sermons tonight, I'm sorry. You can just bear with it. But the first thing is, what do we do here? Like when we come and sit in these uncomfortable pews, right? We could easily be thinking that it's just about what can I get out of this? And so we start thinking like, oh, how's the music going? Do I like it? How's the sound mix? Do I like it? How's the preacher going? Is he keeping me awake? Is he interesting? Does he tell something funny? How are the prayers going? Are they long? Are they dense? Do they make sense? Are they boring? How's the Bible reading? Do they pronounce everything right? How's the supper tonight? You know what I mean? We can easily kind of evaluate these things because behind that, it's what's it doing for me? Does it fit my liking? Does it fit my preference? Is it what I want? And I'll tell you what, I'm the first one that needs to be checked on this because I do it all the time. And I think it's just a real problem about us thinking that we've got it sorted. We want to do these, you know, I can have it my way. But I also think that we need to think about this, everything on Sunday night, as a collected experience. That when we're singing the truths of the word, yes, in praise to God, but also to one another, reminding each other of the word of God. When we pray, we give a hearty amen. Because what that person is praying up front is what we are praying as a people together. So all of us are lifting that prayer to God. As we read the word, someone reads it for us, we listen with attentive ears, interested ears, because we want to hear from God. We as a people together, this community, want to hear from God. And as when someone gets up and preaches, we want to hear that word. The preacher too, by the way. We're not up here thinking that we're just shaking a finger at people. No, because the week long is wrestling for the preacher. It's praying, God, I need this for me first. And I need it for the people. It's together. And when we go to supper, we fellowship around that word. We try to encourage each other in that faith. So it's a community experience. Everything. It's never a passive position that you're in this pew. It's actually you sitting, participating in all of it. You have a real responsibility. And actually, if you don't do those things well, then you're letting people down that are around you. They need you to participate well. I think a second thing that I would like to say, well, first of all, with that, I think that's the problem of wanting to take rather than to give. But something that comes out of that, for example, is how we do supper. And ironically, my group is on supper tonight, and you guys can be the judge of how we went. And I've warned them that I was going to say something about this tonight, so this isn't me scolding anybody in my group. They've been great. But I think I've seen things kind of taper off. I get to be the beneficiary, right? I get to benefit from supper every week, and you do as well. People, you know, pull money out of their wallets to buy food. They take time to bake goodies or whatever it is. They come and set things up. They stay late and clean up. And we sort of take that for granted. But when it's, and we're glad to receive that, aren't we? But when it's our turn to serve, sometimes we kind of just, I'm not really into this. I don't have any cash. I kind of forgot about this. I don't really want to get there a few minutes early. I don't want to stay late to clean up. I don't want to, you know, provide. It's sort of like we just would rather take than give. I just think that's a real danger. Me personally too, by the way, I struggle with that. I would much rather have somebody cooking my food for me, bringing me goodies and treats, eating delectable brownies or cupcakes that somebody made. But sometimes it's our turn to give back and to care well for the people around us. Finally, I think there's a real danger for us in seeing divides amongst sort of the social strata. And I don't mean that in terms of like wealth, really wealthy or less wealthy. That's not what I mean. And I think you see that biblically. But I think, I don't even mean it in the racial way that we see biblically sometimes, but I think I mean it probably in the ages and stages. I think there's a real danger for us to be polarized in this congregation. We have a lot of young, passionate people. People that are really sold out about the gospel. And you know what? We have a lot of people too that are a bit further on in life that are really passionate about the gospel. But somehow these groups don't mix. They're not hanging out. They're not talking. And that's a real potential danger because for the younger folks, they should be eager to have somebody older, more mature, investing in them, imparting biblical wisdom to them, caring for them, loving them. They can learn from them. And on the other side, those that are older, and by the way, I lump myself in the older group now, unfortunately. I do have gray hair in my head. I'm not kidding about that. Those on the older side are often reluctant to reach down and say, hey, even though you're a little bit younger and I feel like maybe I can't relate to you anymore because I'm so old and uncool now, we need to do that. We need to do that, right? But we need to do that. We need to mix. That's the wisdom of the Bible. And as much as we want to stay in our cliques, our social circles, those that we get on well with, those that like the same style, the same music as whatever else, because it can polarize, by the way, across the similar age range as well, the gospel calls us to something different. It brings together the people that don't normally go together. And it says there's something beautiful about that and wonderful and wise. So I think I just want to bring this to our attention. Again, nobody in mind, particularly really myself in mind. But just as I've been with you a little while now, And because I've really grown to care for you all, and I've felt so loved and welcomed here and glad to be here, I just say, let's watch out. Let's not go there. Let's not just give in to the selfishness, the self-serving nature. I thought we should finish with this passage here from Philippians 2. And this is a passage that really gives me a kick in the pants in a bad way. It hurts. If there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Because we're in Christ, we're not supposed to be selfish. We're not supposed to do things selfishly, for selfish gain, for our own interests, but we're actually supposed to count others more significant than ourselves. We're supposed to care for others' needs more than our own. That's a hard word, because it's breaking us out of everything that we think and feel normally. But that's what the gospel does. It's changing us and making us into a new community, a better community. So I thought maybe we should take a moment. We'll pray personally, just searching our own hearts. Is there something we need to repent of? I'll pray for us communally. Then we'll take a few minutes just to shake some hands and say hi, and then we'll come back to the sermon. How's that sound? So take a moment to pray on your own. Lord, help us in our weakness. Everything in us wants to be lazy. It wants to stick to what's comfortable, what's easy, what's most satisfying. We like to suit our own preferences. We like people to give to us, but we don't really like to give back. It's just marks of sin in our lives, Lord, and we need your help to change. We know that we've been brought into a new community. And this community at 6 is wonderful. It is such a joy to be here every week. I look forward to it more and more every week, Lord. There's great life here and joy. But I pray that you'd protect us, Lord. We don't want to fall into any kind of disunity. We don't want to have polarized groups that are circling around age or social preference or anything else. We don't want to be passive participants, Lord. We want to be active in the community, in the fellowship around your word. So, Lord, help us in these things. Grow us so that we might honor you together, Lord. Again, we're thankful. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, take a few minutes to shake somebody's hand, and we'll come back and we'll go to 1 Samuel.